in the world today.
Yes, it is December 10th, 2020, and it's time to have some fun, talk about some sad news, just in general, have a good time. Of course, we got to do that, or we can't do that, without jumping into COM. That is SDF's chat program. Just go ahead and SSH over to SDF, or if you're cool, tty.sdf.org. Just do that. Then you press COM, C-O-M, hit enter, press G for go to, and then type an on radio, all lowercase, and hit enter. Bam, you are now in the on radio room. You can hang out with cool people like Publius and Handy C, and also the real OGs like X1 and Ratsu. So, super cool. Good to see you guys. And Exile's probably round two somewhere. Oh, and don't forget Jazzmaz. Jazzmaz is always listening. Anyway. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Boom. Let's do it the way we always start.
World news.
The world news. Let's turn on the blender. All right. So, first up, this is kind of a mix between U.S. and world news, but I thought it was very interesting. The U.S. Federal Communications Commission, FCC, said on Thursday it's begun the process of revoking China Telecom's authorization to operate in the U.S. as it took further steps to crack down on China's role in U.S. telecommunications. FCC Chairman Ajit Pai noted several U.S. government agencies had recommended the revocation, citing national security concerns. Pai said there are significant concerns that China Telecom will be forced to comply with Chinese government requests for information, including communication intercepts. China Telecom, the largest Chinese telecommunication company, has had authorization to provide telecom services for nearly 20 years. China Telecom Americas did not have an immediate comment. The FCC in April had warned it might shut down the U.S. operations of three state-controlled Chinese telecom companies, citing national security risks, including China Telecom Americas, as well as China Unicom Americas and Pacific News Corp, Pacific Networks Corp, and its wholly owned subsidiary, ComNet. So, we'll see how that goes. But, that could be, you know, yeah, anyway, it can be bad news. Now, of course, it's the holiday season, so we gotta be sure and mention that in Albania, protesters are burning Christmas trees over police killing. Hundreds of protesters have taken to the streets in the Albanian capital of Tirana, after the police allegedly killed a man for breaking a coronavirus curfew. So, it's very sad times indeed. But there's a story about that on the BBC if you want to get it and check that out. And Israel and Morocco have agreed on Thursday to normalize relations in a deal brokered with U.S. help, making Morocco the fourth Arab country to set aside hostilities with Israel in the past 4 months. It joins the UAE, Bahrain, and Sudan in beginning to forge deals with Israel, driven in part by U.S.-led efforts to present a united front against Iran and roll back Tehran's regional influence. In a departure from longstanding U.S. policy, President Trump agreed, as part of the deal, to recognize Morocco's sovereignty over the Western Sahara, a desert region where a decades-old territorial dispute has pitted Morocco against the Algeria-backed Polisario Front, a breakaway movement that seeks to establish an independent state in the territory. President-elect Joe Biden, due to secede Trump on January 20th, will face a decision whether to accept the deal on the Western Sahara, which no other Western nation has done. Uh-oh. Yeah, whales in the Hudson. Yeah, there were pictures of whales in right there off of the Statue of Liberty. It's pretty cool. Publius is saying, oh crap, so I'm not sure. Hopefully everything's okay. But if you want to know, you gotta join COM. It's a fun time. It's a good time. But it's not a requirement. It's just something to do. All right. And French watchdog fines Google 100 million euros and Amazon 35 million euros for cookie breaches. Uh-oh. Oh, welcome, Exiled. So France's CNIL, that's Charlie November, India Lima, data privacy watchdog, said Thursday it had fined two Google units, a total of 100 million euros, and an Amazon subsidiary, 35 million euros, over advertising cookies. The regulators said the fines were for having placed advertising cookies on the computers of users without obtaining prior consent and without prior adequate information, providing adequate information. Cookies, a small piece of data stored on a user's computer browser that allows websites to identify users and remember their previous activity. The CNIL found the French websites of Google and Amazon did not seek the prior consent of visitors before advertising cookies were saved on their computers. Google and Amazon also failed to provide clear information to internet users about how the two firms intended to make use of such online trackers. So, it's good. I'm glad they're getting there. Hopefully the amount of money that these fines that they get charged will eventually be high enough that they stop doing it. But I don't know. It's hard to make, whenever you make so much money, it's hard to fine people out of doing bad things. Okay, well, that's a technical sad thing. Now here's a real sad thing from Reuters. 270 million people face starvation, says the WFP, as it receives the Nobel Peace Prize. Some 270 million people, equivalent to the combined populations of Germany, Britain, France, and Italy, stand on the brink of starvation, the head of the United Nations World Food Program said on Thursday upon receiving the Nobel Peace Prize. The World Food Program, which has coordinated medical logistics during the coronavirus pandemic, was announced winner of the award for 2020 in October. Because of so many wars, climate change, the widespread use of hunger as a political and military weapon, and global health pandemic that makes all of that exponentially worse, 270 people are marching towards starvation, David Beasley said from the WFP headquarters in Rome. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting here. Belgium is not on the list of countries at risk of starvation. And let's talk about Azerbaijan. They're celebrating the Nagorno-Karabakh victory, and Turkish President Erdogan attends. A military parade was held on Thursday in the Azerbaijani capital in celebration of the peace deal with Armenia over the Nagorno-Karabakh that saw Azerbaijan reclaim much of the breakaway region along with the surrounding areas. The agreement took place exactly a month ago and put an end to 6 weeks of fierce fighting over the region. It was seen as a big victory in Azerbaijan, but prompted mass protests in Armenia, with opposition supporters demanding the country's prime minister resign over his handling of the conflict. So, it's very interesting times. Turkey's an interesting place, we'll put it at that. And now, get ready, there's another fun thing. The Dutch have expelled two Russian diplomats for suspected espionage. Ooh, enticing. The Netherlands on Thursday ordered the expulsion of two Russian diplomats accused of spying on the Dutch high-tech sector, the AIVD, its Alpha India Victor Delta National Intelligence Agency said. The latest diplomatic incident will likely raise tension between the two states, already at odds over the murder trial in the Netherlands of three Russians for downing of Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 over eastern Ukraine in 2014. Oh no! Armenian protests are still happening in wherever exile's at. The Dutch government would review legal options to fight espionage by foreign diplomats in the Netherlands who currently enjoy immunity from prosecution. One of the diplomats working for Russian Foreign Intelligence Agency, SVR, occupied himself with spying in the technology and science fields, the AIVD said in a statement. So, Russia says they will give an adequate and timely response to the expulsion of Russian diplomats, Leonid Slutsky, head of the lower house of the Russian Parliament's Foreign Affairs Committee, was quoted as saying by Interfax. In April 2018, the Netherlands disrupted an attempt by Russian intelligence agents to hack the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons in The Hague. Four Russians were caught with spying equipment at a hotel located next to the OPCW headquarters and were expelled. The second spying incident in as many years has prompted the Dutch government to review ways to make foreign spying punishable. So we'll see. L.A. Armenian protests are happening in law. The space of law. Oh man, we're already a little over where I wanted to be. I've taken a little while to talk, but oh yeah, it is 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1. on my clock anyway, 1911 UTC. Check it out. In about 20 minutes, 18 minutes or so now, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobes coming up, and that's a fun time, so definitely stick around for that. You can see the whole schedule at anonradio.net, so don't forget to check that out. So let's do some Nigerian news. I've got three Nigerian news stories. First up, Nigeria Shell employees causing oil leaks for profit. Nigerian employees of the Anglo-Dutch oil company Shell ordered the deliberate vandalization of oil pipelines for personal gain, a documentary in the Netherlands has reported. Dutch television program Zembla, together with Dutch environmentalist organization Milieu Defense, reported in a program to be aired on Thursday that multiple witnesses declared that SPDC, Sierra Papa Delta Charlie, a subsidiary of Shell, caused the oil leaks. According to sources, Shell employees profit from these intentional oil leaks by pocketing money from cleanup budgets, Zembla said in a press release, summarizing an 18-month investigation of various leaks between 2010 and today. Zembla added SBDC, along with the Dutch embassy in Nigeria, were aware of the accusations but had failed to address them. Oil spills in Nigeria have a decades-long history, just like Publius mentioned in the chat, making comments like companies like Shell, whose headquarters is based in the Netherlands, a frequent target of criticism and protests from human rights and environmental groups. So, it's very interesting news there. You can read or watch that. If you go over to Al Jazeera, you can get all the links. And Black Lives Matter co-founder urges Nigeria to free jailed police protesters. A group of activists and celebrities, including co-founder of the Black Lives Matter movement, have signed an open letter to Nigeria's president demanding that he hold accountable security personnel accused of shooting anti-police brutality protesters. The letter, published in the New York Times on Thursday to mark International Human Rights Day, comes nearly 2 months after what witnesses and Amnesty International say was a fatal clash in Lagos between peaceful protesters and military and police. The military and police deny shooting protesters. Surprise, surprise. Yeah, they like to do that in Mexico, tapping into fuel lines. That was a big story earlier this year. Yeah, so Nigeria denies that anything bad happened, but we know how that went. And the last in our little three-up of Nigerian news stories, Dapo has spent too long at his home in Lagos, Nigeria. Back in October, protests against the SARS police unit kept him from going to his office. First, we were told to stay at home because of the coronavirus, then this, he says. A wealthy Nigerian, Dapo, who is in his late 30s, does not want to make himself identifiable by giving his surname and age, lest it draw unwanted attention. So what's going on? He has a backup plan for getting out of Nigeria for some time. He says, I have Maltese citizenship. I can leave for there at any time, with one small obstacle, a 14-day quarantine upon arrival. Dapo could be permanently in Malta any time he pleases. He's not planning to go immediately, but he describes it as Plan B. Dapo is one of a rapidly growing number of Nigerians who have bought so-called golden visas or foreign citizenships by investment this year. In his case, it was Malta, the Mediterranean island where citizenship can be acquired for a minimum investment of 800,000 euros through the Malta Citizenship by Investment Program. Not that he has any special love for Malta. A record 92 countries around the world now allow wealthy individuals to become residents or citizens in return for a fee, sometimes as low as $100,000, but often several million dollars. It's billed as a win-win. The country gets much-needed foreign investment, and in return, the new citizens have new passports that open up more of the world to travel or live in. Golden visas are the lesser-reported side of the Nigerian migration story. Every year, thousands of Nigerians make their way to Europe via perilous crossings over the Sahara and Mediterranean. Now their wealthier counterparts are making their way to Europe via a different route. So, that's very interesting indeed, but yeah, it's kind of wild that it's like, oh yeah, the reason I like to talk about like stories out of Africa, or one of the reasons I like to highlight them, is that at least growing up and for years, it's like you never hear anything about like all the industry and all the cool stuff going on in Africa. You only hear about like the suffering or famine or starvation or something bad going on, and it's like, oh wait, yeah, there's lots of millionaires over there, and they're just, you know, going about their business. So yeah, I just thought that was really cool. So it's about that time where we play a song. I always try and play a song somewhere around the middle of the show, unless like get a cough or something happens or my phone rings and then I got to play a song earlier or whatever. But it is that time. And so, oh yeah, here it is. Let me make sure. Oh, that's what it was. Sorry, I pulled the record up instead of the track. All right, here it is. This song is called The Last DJ by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And it's a song that it means a lot to me. I remember seeing Tom Petty sing this song a couple of times. And the last time I saw him sing it before he passed away was at a show where I had paid like over $100 to be in the back of an amphitheater on the grass to kind of see him. And he just kind of phoned it in. And this song is about artists making it to the point in their career where they're just kind of phoning it in. And their fans, who've been fans for a long time, have to sell their stuff to be able to go. So anyway, check it out.
So much, and he won't play what they say to play, and he don't want to change what don't need to change. And there goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. Well, some folks say they're gonna hang him so high, 'cause you just can't do what he did. There's some things you just can't put in the minds of those kids. As we celebrate mediocrity, all the boys upstairs wanna see how much you'll pay for what you used to get for free. There goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. And there goes the last human voice. And there goes the last DJ. Sometimes it'll kind of come in, and I'll bust a move and remember how it was back then. And there goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice. There goes the
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Aw, yeah. Let's go ahead here and finish up the show with some domestic news. Just want to thank everybody for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed that Tom Petty song. I know I did. All right. So, first up, BBC is reporting, in Trump's final days, a rush of federal executions. As President Donald Trump's days in the White House wane, his administration is racing through a string of federal executions. Five executions are scheduled before President-elect Joe Biden's January 20th inauguration, breaking with the 130-year-old precedent of pausing executions amid a transition. And if all five take place, Mr. Trump will be the country's most prolific execution president in more than a century, overseeing the execution of 13 death row inmates since July this year. The five executions are to begin this week, starting with convicted killers 40-year-old Brandon Bernard and 56-year-old Alfred Bourgeois. They are both scheduled to be put to death at a penitentiary in Terre Haute, Indiana. Attorney William Barr has said his Justice Department is simply upholding existing law. But critics have said the move is concerning, coming just weeks before Mr. Biden, who has said he will seek to end the death penalty, takes office. Of course. Yeah. But anyway, we all know William Barr is an evil, evil person with no morals or ethics, so whatever. Screw that guy. The Guardian's reporting Minneapolis switches $8 million from police budget to violence prevention. The Minneapolis City Council unanimously approved a budget early on Thursday that will shift about $8 million from the police department toward violence prevention and other programs. Mayor Jacob Frey said the vote was a defining moment for the city, which has faced calls to defund the police since the 25th May death of George Floyd in the city, which ignited mass demonstrations against police brutality and a nationwide reckoning with racism. You can read more of the story over there at The Guardian, but this has been an interesting time for Minneapolis. We'll see how that works. The photo is rather interesting because it has a policeman looking at the mayor as he's talking and while the guy is just respectfully looking at the guy speaking, he does almost kind of look indignant, so it's kind of entertaining. So yeah, so it's fun. All right, so here we go. Here's a fun story for all of you fun people. Two stories that I think are kind of cool or would be are kind of like stories that I think somebody will think is cool. So first up, rats besiege New York Chipotle, eating avocados and attacking staff. That's right, the rats are rising up. Rodents were so brazen that the Washington Heights location closed after the wiring systems were chewed through. So this comes to us from columnist Poppy Noor, and this is on The Guardian. As columnist Mary Schmidt once said, in life there are certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise, politicians will philander, and I'm going to add one. You can always count on New York for a good old rat story. Upper Manhattan Chipotle food chain, rats, who have been feasting on avocados and burritos, and by the sound of it, disturbed staff. At first glance, it might sound like small potatoes compared to when the CDC had to warn against New York's cannibal rats during the pandemic, nor does it sound quite as frightful as the starved super rats so desperate to dine out that they threw themselves at horrified New Yorkers who were dining al fresco. No, today's rats have been running amok at a Washington Heights Chipotle, attacking employees, chewing through wiring systems, and causing the indefinite closure of the restaurant to the public. It's pure chaos every time a rat appears, employee Melvin Paulino told the New York Post, speaking of the brazen behavior of the rats. Although the restaurant is closed, staff are still regularly coming in to clean in an effort to help stave off the infestation. This includes some pretty serious survival tactics, including stomping rats and whacking them with broom handles. The infestation was first discovered in the summer when avocados were found partially eaten. The rats seem to have developed the same expensive taste for avocado as many New Yorkers. They liked them so much Chipotle eventually had to move the fruit to the freezer to keep the rats at bay. So, this is very funny. The article and its stand first were amended on December 10th, 2020. An earlier version described the Chipotle restaurant as being in the Upper West Side, and it was corrected to Washington Heights. Pretty interesting. Pretty wild. A controlled burn might be a good idea, Publius. And that segues us over to SpaceX. SpaceX's Starship Sierra November 8, SN8, explodes on landing after a test flight. Elon Musk tweets, Mars, here we come, after fireball engulfs the prototype. So SpaceX's Starship prototype exploded while attempting to land after its test launch from the company's rocket facility in Boca Chica, Texas. Boca Chica? No way. Live video of the Wednesday's test showed the self-guided rocket landing at speed following a controlled descent before disappearing in a ball of flame. Despite the catastrophic end of the 6.5-minute test, SpaceX entrepreneur Elon Musk was thrilled. Mars, here we come. So, pretty exciting. Definitely not from the Boring Company. And we've only got about 3.5 minutes before it's time for the Dubious Goals Committee. So, I want to just be sure and mention, stick around. Stick around. Come along. Listen to non-radio. We'll have a few laughs. All right. We're almost there. Here are the last three stories. And so we'll just give them to you rapid fire here. In These Times has a longer feature piece called Activists Demand Rich Countries Suspend Patent Laws and Share Vaccines Freely. And this is, goes in line with the hoarding story we talked about yesterday. Margaret Keenan, 90, became the first person in the world to receive a non-trial shot of the vaccine in the UK on December 8th, officially launching the United Kingdom's mass inoculation program. Revelations on December 8th that the Trump administration passed on the opportunity to lock in additional supplies from Pfizer has many of Trump's critics up in arm. But the bigger story is that the richest countries in the world are buying up the world's supplies. Over the past several months, before any vaccine is approved for sale, the wealthiest nations have pre-purchased massive stockpiles of vaccines from front-runner producers. Of the 9.8 billion doses already reserved, over half are claimed for the United States, Europe, and Australia alone, where just over a tenth of the world's population resides. We talked about this yesterday. So, yeah. Activists and humanitarian organizations are in a race against time to secure more equitable distribution of COVID vaccines as they prepare for this. So, So this article goes on to make an argument about patents, but it's really long-winded. Truth Out, or In These Times, has that problem. So anyway, go read it if you got some time. You're waiting at the doctor's office or something. All right, we are so close to done. Boom. Let's just do this one last one. New York Police Department cops cash in on sex trade arrests with little evidence, while black and brown New Yorkers pay the price. ProPublica has this article that basically goes over some police corruption, and I found it to be rather interesting reading. Since we don't have a lot of time, I'm not going to like go through the craziness of it, but it is very interesting. So check out ProPublica or In These Times if you've got a bit of time to read. I don't know what Mickey D tune is, Exile.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Well, shucks. This was a little early. So, anyway, we got about 20 seconds. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow is going to be pre-recorded because it's Friday, and I always have a meeting on Fridays now, at least until the time changes again. So, party on. Enjoy the dude.